do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John and this is all my fault.
I'm Kelly. None of this is my fault. None of it ever. No responsibility, never.
Okay. I guess all of this is my fault.
It's all your fault.
That's you know what? I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that I've reached a point where I'm ready to accept it.
I'm proud of you, John.
What's new, Kelly? How you doing?
I'm great. I feel like I always talk about my shrimp on this podcast, but the shrimp has started making more shrimp, and now I have more shrimp than I can name. So if anybody out there wants some free shrimp, let me know. Freshwater, they're very easy to take care of.
Incredible.
They're delightful. They're not the eating kind, just to be clear.
Just for looking at. Well.
Just little cute water bugs.
Crustaceans are fun.
They are.
Right? They're
delightful.
Yeah.
So many legs to love.
Arthropods, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Why not? Our guest looks like maybe she has some contributions to make.
Oh, no. I would like a t-shirt of so many legs to love. I also like the peeping shrimp versus the eating shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, please welcome my fantastic friend Amy L. back to the podcast for her second episode. Amy, how are you?
I am doing very well. I have seen the shrimp, and I do feel changed as a result of it. So, you know, I came in a non-shrimp seeing person, and I've left seeing the shrimp light. So
yeah. They're cute as hell.
They really, truly are.
They're really charming. For little waterlogged decapods.
The only information that I have that is relevant to what I've been up to is something that's actually weirdly relevant to a certain Marvel movie that has recently come out, which is just that I was driving and I saw standing on the street corner a person wearing I believe it was a clown wig and a big oversized red bow tie.
Okay.
And an infinity gauntlet.
Yes.
Walking his dog. And I did not have I was driving, right? So I did not have the wherewithal to snap a photo.
Right. Yes.
But I know it happened. I saw it. And I have absolutely no context. Like, I want to know I have so many questions.
I feel like this is because this seems like someone who knows that most people will not be able to get a photo, thus is acting as the Pixar don't exist person in the world. So they're providing a service wherein they're giving you a story that people will inevitably doubt. So, it's great.
That's inarguable, I suppose.
I really do want to know what he was doing in his day before he went out to walk the dog.
Right?
Are those his pajamas? Did he just wake up like that?
I don't know. I would imagine that sleeping in an infinity gauntlet would be uncomfortable.
Oh.
But not...
I haven't tried it.
Yeah, neither have I. It's true.
I tried it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before one can judge.
Yeah.
It's really the combination of the two. The very clear clown markers in addition to the singular infinity gauntlet.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think the dog has opinions about this?
Most certainly.
He's just like, would you stop dressing up like this when we go out? Did the dog look just... Like, was there just a look of chagrin on the dog's face?
I wasn't able to get a good look because the dog was sort of facing away from me as I pulled up to the street corner. And then the light changed and I had to keep driving.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of missing data. And this is a circle that will never be completed. A loop that will never be closed. And this person has done it to me. And now all of you through me. So really...
This is what I think that person was trying to do.
I'm going to be looking for this person now. Because if this is his ordinary, like, everyday outfit, which it could be...
Mm-hmm.
This was at the corner of Alcatraz and Sacramento,
I want to say. And I go through there a decent amount.
So this is a very easy person to put up wanted posters for. Like, talk about some identifying markers.
Wanted for questioning.
Just questioning.
Questioning. Questions include, what's your deal?
What a fantastic segue. For those of you who wonder what the deal is with this very podcast, I can tell you what's going on. I've got a decade's worth of unedited ideas piled up in a single spreadsheet, and now my friends get to poke around in it because there might be something good in there. If you hear one and you agree it's good, take it and run. I just want credit.
I would like a cut, please.
In this case, it's Amy who has had a chance to take a look at the spreadsheet. And Amy, what have you found in there for us?
I'm going to start hopefully strong with snortable ibuprofen under the product thing and with a note saying a liquid suspension.
Yes, because I asked this question on Twitter. Let's start from the basics, right?
Yes.
We know cocaine works. And we know it works fucking quickly.
Yes.
Why, therefore, is there not a snortable version of other over-the-counter drugs that are legit, right? It turns out that snorting particulates is very bad for your mucous membranes.
Yeah.
However, it seems to stand to reason you could maybe snort a fine mist, like a liquid suspension.
Oh, sort of like
a nasal spray.
Yeah, because there are medications. It turns out that I think at least one person responded to me that she has like a migraine med that she takes that she has to snort. It's not a pleasant experience.
No.
But I have to imagine that it must be snortable for a reason, which I have to imagine is because it works real quickly.
Right.
So, why is therefore they're not liquid snortable ibuprofen?
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because one would assume that it would have... I also realize this is where my limitation with any sort of medical knowledge really comes to the fore. But is it a different absorption process? Is there...
That's what I'm wondering,
So my buddy Charles asserts that the reason why it isn't a thing is because if you snorted the ibuprofen, it would take effect immediately and then also just as quickly dissipate.
Like cocaine. I mean, I've never done cocaine, truly, but I've heard that my friends who have tried to have me do cocaine said, it's over quickly, and I said, this doesn't help. I'm so highly anxious.
I don't know that, but like, it sticks around for a, like, it's not like it's there and gone, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it hangs around for a bit.
Sure.
Right? So... in other words, that's why the ibuprofen pills are a thing, because it has to dissolve.
Right.
And so it hangs around for longer.
Right.
So maybe like, the snortable bit is like a primer that works, like, immediately.
Right.
Wears off in time for the pills you just took to kick
in.
That was my suggestion, yes, after this fact was, or this assertion was brought to light.
Yeah, right.
I would, yeah, because fucking I hate headaches.
I get them frequently, and it's ibuprofen often does not work fast enough in a way that, like, feels, as someone who works in front of a screen.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I find that it always pretty much works, but sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
Right? Like, fucking...
Yeah. In, out, done.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't necessarily think it's any more dangerous. I guess, because the thing about, like, ibuprofen in a container is that there's the childproof cap to it, right?
Right.
So how would one prevent? And you must be.
You could childproof cap the spray bottle.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Right?
It could be done.
Yeah. I feel like there are
technologies for this.
Yeah. Right.
Industrial designers can solve this for us.
I'm sure that it's been solved, right? I mean, because there are nasal sprays that exist, and I'm sure that they've been childproofed in some way.
Right. I'm just thinking about, like, the baby bottle pop candy bottles, which had, like, the plastic on the top that was always impossible to open. So they managed to do it in the 90s, so why not? Right. The technology is there. I think that it would greatly improve my day.
Awesome.
Sticking with the medical theme, I'm going to go to your question that you posed, which was regional hiccup cure study.
Yes.
Oh, I would be super curious about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everyone I know has a different method that, like, only that method works for them.
Right.
And I'm curious about whether it's regional or familial.
I think it might be.
That familial. Was precisely my question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Familial or like friend group, you know what I mean? Where there's like different clades based on. Who knows? This is a study that I want somebody to do who is not me, because I do not have the expertise.
So what's your go-to hiccup cure?
My go-to hiccup cure is to hold your breath and swallow 3 times.
Okay.
Oh.
Mine is drinking from the wrong side of the glass.
Huh.
Right. Similarly, I have a couple, which I've acquired over different periods of time, but the one that I use most frequently was trying to drink a cup of water upside down.
Yeah, which is basically drinking from the wrong side of the glass. Exactly. Yeah, same deal.
And I've heard they're all relatively the same, which is, this might just be the theory that hiccups after a certain point are psychosomatic. And so I don't think that's actually true. I think that's something I just heard when I was little. And our science has changed.
My brother's kid got hiccups before he was born. So it was like pregnant hiccups. So like that was
happening. Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. Or at least that's what he said.
I've heard of that.
He could have just been lying.
No, I've heard of other like neonatal hiccups.
Yeah. It would be weird for him to make that up. Prenatal, rather.
I think that may have happened with Quentin before he was born as well. Maybe.
Is he just like doing little jumps in there?
This triggered a memory, and I don't know if that's like a real memory, if it's just my brain making it up on the spot.
Yeah, which would be fair. And also, I would probably believe it, because I'd be like, that backs up the thing I said, so clearly it's valid. True.
But yeah, hiccup cures.
It makes sense. It would be... Yeah. Like, it's just a muscle spasm.
Well, right.
Well, but so, okay, well, here's the question, though. Like, where did your hiccup cure come from?
My dad.
Mine came from friends of mine.
Ah.
Mine also came from friends.
So it might be a mix of familial and regional.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which is the most common?
Right.
I'd be curious about that, too.
Yeah. Like is there, like, which is the most common per region? Where are the borders? You know? Yeah. Well, it's sort of like how the border between pop and soda is roughly Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Huh.
I was a soda person. I dated a girl from Rochester who said pop.
I didn't even realize, as someone who grew up in the Northeast, I just didn't recognize that as a thing.
Well, yeah, and I grew up in California and it's soda here.
Yep.
So there's got to be another dividing line somewhere.
I think it's roughly along the lines of, like, the Girl Scout cookies. Like, you know how there's 2 different companies that make the Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, so it's it's like Hellman's Mayonnaise west of the Rockies. I'm sorry, it's Best Foods west of the Rockies, Hellman's east of the Rockies.
Correct, exactly.
So it's like the continental divide is where we...
Hardy is Carl's Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. Dreyer's Edie's.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like these kind of, like, these pieces between, like, that exist between different companies. We're like, this is your section, this is ours.
Yeah.
We should live in harmony. Splitting this great nation. I also take, this is just a complete regionalism, but I realized that where I grew up. So what do you call, like, when you have a bunch of items that you want to unload onto friends, family, the unsuspecting public, and you put them out in front of your house for sale for a cheap price? What do you call that?
It's a garage sale.
Garage sale or yard sale.
For me, it's a tag sale.
Oh.
Yeah, which I didn't realize was just where I grew up. But apparently, like, I looked at it, there's, like, a pocket in Connecticut, in, like, New York, that I call it tags. So I was like, right, you put tags on it. It's roughly the same area that also has Stu Leonard's, which is the best supermarket of all time, and combines supermarket products and also animatronic singing animals.
Yeah. I want to go there.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about Stu Leonard's. It's the best place.
Stu Leonard's?
Stu Leonard's.
Stu Leonard's.
Uh-huh, Stu Leonard. Made it, and then he went to jail for tax fraud, and Stu Leonard Jr. ran for a while. They had a petting zoo outside,
what?
And animatronics inside.
I want that!
And it was built like IKEA, like a maze, so you couldn't just go in and get something. You had to go through the whole thing.
Oh, my freaking... Right. I hate grocery shopping. I want that to happen. I want there to be, like, animatronic animals and then fruit.
Right. Uh-huh. You had the animated Chiquita Banana. That would sing by the bananas. There was a Twinkie the Kid who popped out of a Twinkie box. It was a whole adventure.
That's amazing.
This is a magical wonderland.
It perhaps doesn't feel that way once you're there or you've gone to it. Like,
yeah, okay.
And you just want to think of like a chicken cutlet. You have to walk through the entire store. But it does feel special in its own particular way. Anyway, that's entirely off topic from hiccups. But Just want to spread the good word of Stu Leonard.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
In that case, I'm going to move on to a question that you had about white belt confidence, which was, is there a name for when a rank amateur attacks a skilled grandmaster with supreme confidence?
Right. Which is a thing that you see a lot on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Where it's like some dumb motherfucker who, like, read a paragraph about physics.
Right, yeah.
And just decides that he's going to come at, like, you know, any woman physicist.
Yes.
Right? Or something where it's, and is certain that he's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, is there a name for that? I called it white belt confidence. But, like...
really good.
I think it also... because it requires having... no information. It requires having so little information so as to think that the little bit of information you have is supremely important.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a weird... it's not necessarily a catch-22, but it's close in that, like, if you have too much information, you realize how ignorant about it you are.
Right.
So it has to be just underneath that amount.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's... is there a word for that informational threshold?
Right.
I mean, like, that's not the... The Dunning-Kruger effect is... Dunning-Kruger is it's a thing where it's like you're too fucking dumb to know that you're dumb.
Right.
I think.
Well, it seems like a similar thing then.
You know what? Honestly, this seems worth looking up.
Yeah, do it.
Yes, hang on.
I feel like my stepbrother summed this up once. Like my stepdad made some like very confident assertion that was absolutely incorrect. And my brother just goes, often wrong, never in doubt.
Yes, the Dunning-Kruger effect, a cognitive bias in which people mistakenly assess their ability as greater than it is, where it comes from the inability of people to recognize their lack of ability.
Wow.
This seems exactly that.
Yeah.
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 Okay, but that's the effect. I mean, yeah, I guess that's it's what the thing that I have described is a subset of Dunning-Kruger.
Okay,
right.
Okay,
we got it.
We got
question
it.
Answered. Can't wait to put that in a meme and use it as a reply on Twitter forever. You idiots. I also want to loop into something that kind of already exists, but that I'm still very fascinated by, which you have under the story category here, which is emotional fission reactor, output in megahertz or perhaps gigahertz.
I had this notion that there should be, like, yeah, that there would be a story where, you know, because, like, people are always going on about the power of love, right? But what if there was, a universe in which, like, you could actually measure that concretely?
Oh.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, like, you're putting out about 2.5 gigahertz, right? And so, like, so that becomes sort of the basis of the story where there's, yeah, with, like, somebody, like, creates a thing that is powered, you know, by emotion. Anyway, so, yeah, that was as far as I got. The great thing about this spreadsheet is that, like, I just shit the idea out.
Right.
And then, you know, depending on whether or not I feel like following up on it, I do or I don't.
Right.
But the idea was captured.
It feels, because I recently started watching and then finished watching Mob Psycho 100,
mm-hmm.
Which is an anime based on the manga by one who also did One Punch Man. And basically the way that it works is that it's a character who is, like, very specifically emotionless, but whenever any of his emotions get to 100, he's a psychic.
Oh.
So whenever he, like, his emotions get to that point, he, like, absolutely loses control of that particular emotion, and, like, everything is so, he just, like, becomes, like, the most powerful, like, psychic user at that point. And so it's like, but there's always a different emotion, so you'll have, like, you know, fear or, like, self-loathing or, like, whatever emotion it is necessarily, but that is the driving power to the thing, just because, like, it, there was something about it that I was like, oh, yes, this appeals to me. And that's not necessarily what you're describing here. But I think that someone also mentioned that it's also like Madoka Magica, like, in terms of... anyway, yeah.
Which I have still not watched.
There's a lot going on.
I have heard.
There are many things. I think most reductively you could probably talk about it being, like, the power... not necessarily even positively, but, like, the potential, like, almost nuclear power of, like, suppressed emotion in that way, which is similar to Mob Psycho 100. Like, And there's something about, like, the danger of that, and, like, I think that the way you're describing this is a little bit more inclusive, or perhaps, like, recognizing of a fuller emotional, like, regular everyday spectrum of things versus, like, a suppression to the point of it being, like, impossible to hold, in which case it becomes a meltdown. Seems, you know, like a go-to story, but I'd be curious in more of like a sci-fi everyday, like a world that's sustained by it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Where somebody figures out, like they figured out how to power stuff based
right.
on emotion.
Yeah.
And like, what does that look like?
Right. Because also then you have weird things about emotional labor too, and like who's executing it at what points, right?
Huh.
Like at what. Right. Because there is some sort of, like, Ursula Le Guin sci-fi aspect to this, right? in like, who is doing the majority of the emotional work, right? It's a different way of classifying, like, you know, white collar, blue collar. Like,
no, I totally, like, the first place I went was, like, emotional labor unions.
Right, exactly. Yes. Also,
that.
Who's your union rep in that way?
Oh my god. Who gets picked
story?
As the union rep for
yes.
the emotional labor union?
That's actually the story that I would like.
I want that story too.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody out there, please run with it.
There you go. this is someone that I actually didn't hear your original discussion with Kelly M as identified here on the thing, but landlord cat is what I have. Also, it's the next item under story. Again, in all caps, landlord cat with no other explanation factors.
I think I was envisioning a similar to that Will Ferrell video from 5,000 years
yes.
ago,
uh-huh.
where there was it like a 6-year-old girl
yes.
with the landlord.
Uh-huh.
That, except with a cat. And like
uh-huh.
maybe it's a series of videos, like I don't know, but like it's just it's a thing where it's like people renting an apartment, but their landlord for some fucking reason is a cat,
which honestly feels like cat ownership most of the time. So it's I feel like it's already there. It's already 90% written. You know,
Something for cat owners to really just find super relatable,
right? Cat owners known for being as a cat owner, I feel like I can say this, known for. You know, always being able to shut up about owning a cat. Do you hear what my cat landlord did today? You wouldn't believe it. He showed me his thumb. It was ridiculous. So inappropriate. I'm going to file a complaint. That's the angle I like.
I love it.
Landlord cat. I'm imagining kind of just like, you know, 1-minute videos. Just, you know, just the right length to...
Yeah.
Which is about, again, the correct amount of time to interact with someone interacting with their cats. Again, I know this because I'm the person with the cat and I can watch after a minute, like a timer. The moment I start talking about my cat, 1 minute later, like, the soul leave my friend's body. I can't stop myself. So
it's fair. It's fair. As a parent, I feel I can relate.
Right.
Yeah, you just have a cat that eventually gains sentience and
yes.
ability to communicate.
Honestly, a friend of mine a long time ago, I forget who it was, said that he once had parenting described as having a dog that eventually learns to talk.
Right.
Not wrong.
Again, 100% correct. And terrifying at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
I also wanted to loop into a documentary about mismatched Comic-Con couples, which was in your art section here.
Yes. Okay. This is unavoidably going to, at some point, come down to, you know, external physical assessment.
Right.
Which... I apologize in advance. However, this is a phenomenon that me and other people have noticed at Comic Cons, where you get a woman, usually a cosplayer, let's say, who is basically a 10, being followed around by a dude she's clearly dating, who is a 3. Tops. Tops. And the question that we have always is, how? Not just how, but why? And just like, what... What is, like, yeah, we want the origin story of that relationship, and we would love to know, like, what the dynamic is now. Because you'd figure that after a certain amount of time, especially at a Comic-Con, with a lot of exposure to other people, right? Like, perhaps, you know, the woman would start to feel like, you know what, I'm really good-looking. And I just, you know, like, Harold is nice.
Oh,
but, you know, I mean, should I try to look into trading up? Like, is this a question that has crossed her mind? Is this something that Harold is terrified of? I want to know.
I think that Harold might have white belt confidence. You know, there's...
Actually, no, this is valid, because someone I went to high school with, at some point, I was living in L.A. and read some interview with Lucy Liu saying that, like, she never goes on dates, no one ever asks her out. Because, like, she's too good-looking, she's too, like, too much. And this was, like, when she was, like, really hot shit. And so he just, like, got her contact info and asked her out, and he went out with Lucy Liu for a while.
What?
Yeah. Because nobody ever asks her out.
What?
So, yeah. And he's above a 3. He was lovely. But, like... Yes.
But Lucy Liu is, like, a 12.
Right, exactly.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, I will grant you, I haven't seen him since high school, and then he was very, very, like, rail thin and, like, very lanky and very skinny and, like, not the sort of dude you would expect to see with Lucy Liu.
Right, right.
Very handsome, but, you know, but in still. That skinny dude kind of way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that is a thing that happens. So I'm kind of wondering...
If something like that's
if there's something like that, where they're like, where she's like, well, no one ever asks me out, so this guy asked me out, I guess I will go out with him.
Huh.
And to their credit, they might have the most sparkling personality.
Yes, no, this is true, yeah. Which, again, is something that the documentary might uncover, right?
True.
Which, like, it turns out Harold is a grade-A human being.
Yes. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe Brittany's gonna be like, well, you know, I used to date douchebags, and Harold is not a douchebag.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Harold sounds like
so. I actually have traded up in dating Harold.
That's true.
Could be a thing. I used to date like total dick bags.
These are questions that I would love to see answered.
Yeah.
Because I like every time we saw it, it was just sort of like, wow, like just what happened, you know? Like,
right.
Because there's clearly a story of some sort.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
I also. Feel like it might be just some good public service about like the ability to like to really look at each other as people and to enjoy like that connection.
I like that too.
Perhaps disseminate it to a group that might need to hear it at certain points.
Yes,
in a way that like across the board, it just being a testament to people love what they love, and that might just be
that might be what ends up saving us all.
Exactly.
For fuck's sake.
Honestly,
thank God
sorry.
For Harold and Brittany.
I love it.
And Brittany for president.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Excellent.
Wonderful. The other thing that I have here is very simple. It's the Comics Motherfucker button, which is a product you had listed. So it's a button that says Comics, Motherfucker.
I still think it's a good one. You know, it's just a one-inch button you can just put on your jacket. It just lets everybody know. Comics, motherfucker.
It's the comma that really makes it. You know, you have a half breath in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody should make it. I mean, this one, maybe it should be an enamel pin.
Yes.
You know,
so
like
true.
In the shape of a word balloon, perhaps.
Yeah.
Right, that will sell.
Yes. Who do we know who has experience making enamel pins?
Turns out you can just send it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just send it out. Okay.
I know some people. Like,
I actually think we should do this.
That sounds like an idea.
Okay.
We'll race you, listeners.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover my body in them. People say, what does that mean? I'll say, read the fucking pin. And by that point, I'll have enough time to just walk away. Yes. Comics motherfucker.
Outstanding. We have now reached that part of the podcast where we give a terrible recommendation or highlight an idea from our guest. Amy, do you happen to have any more ideas you would like to give away?
I do. It's a thing that I have been sitting on, and I don't know if it's anything, but it is what I really want, and I'm sure it already exists, is a... Your Changing Body, but for 30-year-olds. Like, a chapter on the hair down there. Like, you know.
Yeah.
The same illustrations that everyone got in, like, the Care and Keeping of You book that American Girl put out. Like, all those delicate illustrations.
Uh-huh.
But just talking about, like, those weird changes that your body goes through once you're out of your 20s.
Yeah, I feel like I have to pay more attention to my nose hairs now.
Yes!
Right?
Yes!
Yeah. Why is that a thing?
I don't know.
And this book would not necessarily be at all informative.
But it would just let you know.
Better.
Yeah, it would just let you know, hey, this happens to everybody.
Yeah,
just, you know?
Hey, bud.
It's weird when your body goes through changes.
Yeah, I thought I had dodged the bullet of getting a ton of pimples in high school because that didn't happen, which was amazing. And
right.
It was amazing. Thank you, universe, for that. Turns out I got them in my 30s, so...
The same thing has happened to me.
Yeah, it's bullshit, and I was mad. But I can't be that mad because I dodged that bullet before, so I feel like it's, you know...
Right. And now people are more understanding theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Yeah, people are like, oh, this is it. That's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen this. We've seen
They're like,
this.
Are you going to prom this week? No, you're good.
Yeah.
Wait, you are going to prom? That's weird. Probably shouldn't do that.
That's what I do every weekend.
Yeah. We should talk about that.
It's five of prom summer. Sorry.
Amazing. We should probably let everybody know where we can be found on the internet. For me, that's super easy because of my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter. Thanks to her, you can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
You can find me on Instagram as Enthusiosity.
You can find my video game writing at gentlegamers.com, or you can see me on stage every Friday and Saturday with the San Francisco Neo Futurists at sfneofuturist.com.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to this show by searching Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcatcher of choice, and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating and or a nice review. It would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, why not tell a friend about us?
Why not tell... all your friends, every friend you've ever had.
Why not make more friends and tell them as well?
Why not just yell at strangers on the street corners while wearing a giant red bow?
And an infinity gauntlet.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I would like a cut.